Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Christians are not to rebel against the government or to be characterized by vengeance. Jesus didn't encourage violence against Rome. No, we are to be a law-abiding people, paying taxes, submitting to the laws, respecting our police officers and so on. We are to be exemplary citizens and faithful followers of Christ. We're to pray for our leaders.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Our nation is a nation of laws, but increasingly we see some people ignore or break laws that they feel are unjust. What does the Bible say about the role of government in our lives? Today on The Verdict, John continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew with a message about God and government. Now, to introduce today's lesson, here's Pastor John Monroe.
How should we who are followers of Jesus respond to and interact with government? This is a huge subject and one which is addressed in several passages in Scripture, which is God's eternal truth. And that which is eternal is always relevant. In our society today, there is polarization, division, vitriolic statements, and even hatred of those who differ on political and social issues. Are we to retreat as followers of Jesus Christ? Are we to protest? In what circumstances should we disobey the government? How should we pray? What about paying taxes to a government which passes laws contrary to Scripture? Let's listen to the brilliant teaching of Jesus on these subjects in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22.
Here is a passage which will guide us and set some important parameters that we need to hear. Now, this is the teaching of Jesus, and he is speaking to us today on this important subject of God and government. We're going to listen to what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. When the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him, that is Jesus, in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And do not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances." Hypocrites, weren't they? But here's their question. Verse 17. "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. That's the coin, the Roman coin. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Isn't that a brilliant passage? Here's the question. Should taxes be paid to unjust and oppressive rulers? That's the question that the Pharisees and the Herodians come in verses 15 through 17 and ask Jesus. Now, Matthew tells us in verse 15 that they are plotting against Jesus. They try to entangle him. Here is a question, carefully framed, designed to trap, embarrass Jesus. They want evidence to put Jesus to death. Now, the Pharisees and Herodians are not natural allies at all, but they have a joint enemy in Jesus. There's the old adage, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." And now, with hypocritical flattery, these religious rulers and these secular leaders team up and they ask Jesus a question about taxes. They've got together. These are clever men. And they have crafted this very, very good question, they think. Now, being nationalistic Jews, the Pharisees don't like paying tax to Rome. On the other hand, the Herodians favor the paying of tax because they have a strong allegiance to Rome. Herod is ruling under the authority of Rome. So the question, as I say, is a crafty one. It's also a very volatile question. And the Jews, if Jesus said, well, pay the tax, would be regarded as a kind of traitor collaborating with Rome. So here's the question. Verse 17, tell us then, the flattered them. What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That's a good question. They would have been good lawyers, wouldn't they? They're setting a trap. And they think that whatever way Jesus replies, they will catch him. So here's a question as we widen it. We're not paying taxes to Caesar, are we? Should taxes be paid to unjust and oppressive rulers? Should we obey ungodly rulers? To widen the question. That's the question. The answer? Let me read it again. As they bring Jesus the coin, verse 20. Whose likeness and inscription is this? He's looking at the coin. Caesar's. Here's the answer. Maybe you don't like it, but here it is. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. The answer, Caesar must receive what is due to Caesar, but God must receive what is due to God. Now, you can't improve on that answer, can you? Notice, incidentally, the focus of the response. Render to Caesar. Render to God. Notice, the focus is not on what we receive, but what we give. The focus is not on our rights, not on our freedoms, not on our entitlements, but what we owe to Caesar, what we render to God. I have my freedoms. No one's going to tell me what to do. Do you hear that? Here's the answer. Render to Caesar what is due to Caesar. You don't like that? I don't like it either sometimes. But this is even more convicting. Render to God, Jesus says, the things that are God's. In our rampant individualistic society, how we need to hear this. We put ourselves at the center. Jesus is saying, listen, you've got obligations to Caesar. Make sure you fulfill them. You've got obligations to God. Render to God the things that are God's. It's been rightly said, it's the most influential political statement ever made. What a brilliant answer. Did you notice verse 22? When they heard it, they marveled. Can you picture the scene? These very smart Pharisees, the long robes, and the Herodians, with all of their pride, coming and smugly and hypocritically with their flattery, asking the question. And Jesus there stands and says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. First, Caesar must receive what is due to Caesar. Now, isn't it interesting? Jesus had to ask for the coin. He wasn't carrying the coin. They had the coin. And in fact, they're in the temple. They've got an idolatrous coin in the temple. His opponents have one, and they give it to him. And the image on the coin is Caesar's. On one side it read, Tiberius Caesar, Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. Idolatry. A graven image. No, first commandment, you'll only have one God. On the other side of the coin was, Pontifex Maximus, chief priest. The very coin, the denarius, to be paid to Caesar was blasphemous. So you can understand why the Jews hated paying the tax. None of us like paying taxes, but it's worse when it's paid to your oppressors, and it's worse when it's got some idolatry on it. So here's the point. The coin was Caesar's because it bore his image. And Jesus is saying that Caesar must receive what is rightfully his. To widen the principle, followers of Jesus must obey the law of the land, even when it's a pagan society, even when it's secular, yes, even when it's oppressive. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Here is Paul, obviously filled with the Spirit, so it's consistent with the teaching of Jesus. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, who wants to be under authority? There is in us, in our sinful nature, a sort of rebellion, isn't it? We don't like people telling us what to do. But here's the word of God. Subject to the governing authorities. You think this government is bad presently in the United States? Try living under the rule of Rome. Verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. That is a matter of respect. As a child, I'm taught I have to respect my parents. I am to obey my parents. They are the authority over me in the home as I'm brought up, in your home and so on. And we learn, sometimes the hard way with me, is that it is important to follow instructions. So when you go to school and the teacher tells you something, you follow it. We meet a police officer, he gives an instruction, we follow it. We respect it. When we get our car and we start driving in my little Mini Cooper, I had to realize there were speed limits. I don't like speed limits. And you learn, where are the police around? And you've got a desire to disobey the rules. But when the police officer stops you, we were taught to show respect. Perhaps the police officer is oppressive. Perhaps he's arrogant. That doesn't matter. There's a basic principle. Be subject to governing authorities. Well, let's look over to Peter. What does Peter say? 1 Peter 2. You say, is that the message that Monroe's telling us to pay our taxes? Should have stayed at home. No, you need to listen to this. And if you're at home, this is for you. 1 Peter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake. Notice the spiritual emphasis. The life of the Christian is one of submission. Above all, I'm to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should be put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Christians are to be known as good people, not rebels, but rendering to Caesar what is due to Caesar. And you think, well, we try and wriggle out of this, don't we? We want to evade the law. We want to see how close we can get to it. No. Those who follow Jesus Christ, please hear me, are to be exemplary citizens. We are to be known in the community as good people, exemplary citizens. We are to be known to respect lawful government. The city council, police officers, elected officials, the president. And whatever is due to the government must be paid to the government. I deal with a police officer, I am to show respect to that police officer. I deal with the government, I am to show respect to them. I may not always agree with them, but I am to do good. I am to be an exemplary citizen. What's the principle? Caesar must receive what is due to Caesar. But God must receive what is due to God. Jesus is also teaching that there is a limit as to what is due to Caesar. The coin, yes, it has Caesar's likeness on it, so therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But you don't worship Caesar. And we owe more to God than we owe to Caesar. And Caesar is subject to our God because our God is supreme, and it's only that God that we worship. It is true, Caesar's image is stamped on the coin. That is true. But think of this, the image of God is stamped on us. Remember Genesis 1, when God made us? He made us in the image of God. A coin has Caesar's image. I have the image of God stamped on me. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm to obey God's laws. God's law is written on my heart. Yes, it's true. I must pay my taxes to the federal, the state, local authorities, and so on. It's true. I must obey them. But I must render to God the things that are God's. We owe everything we have to God. Everything you are, your gifts, your talents, your possessions, everything comes from God, and God can take them from you in an instant, can't he? A follower of Christ as well. I'm to deny self. I'm to surrender everything to God. We sometimes sing, take my hands, take my feet, take my voice. I'm surrendering everything to God. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. So the question then is, you don't like what I said about paying taxes, this is even tougher to hear. I'm going to ask you the question. I want you to answer in your heart. Are you robbing God in any way? Render to God the things that are God's. Are you doing that? You're robbing God of your time, your service, your tithes, your offerings, your resources, your energy. In fact, as you look at your life over the last year, has it all been about you? All about your rights, your entitlement, yourself, your feelings? Where is God in this? Are you not in danger of making yourself the center of the universe? I thought you said your life was surrendered to Jesus Christ. So why this self-absorption? Why this self? Listen to Malachi. Malachi 3, we're in Matthew. You go back in your Bible to Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 10. Will man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I understand this Old Testament. That's a principle. They were robbing God. They weren't bringing their offerings and tithes to God. Oh, they're going through the mechanics of temple worship. But earlier, Malachi said, the Lord has said, you might as well close the doors. This is a farce. This is hypocrisy. So, how about you? Render to God the things that are God's. That's a tough one, isn't it? That's one to reflect on. That's one to meditate on. But here's another question. What if Caesar's laws and God's laws are in conflict. Here's the principle. When government infringes on God's kingdom, followers of Jesus must obey God rather than the government. Let me repeat that. When government of any kind, national, local, whatever it is, when government infringes on God's kingdom, followers of Jesus must obey God rather than the government. So, followers of Jesus are to disobey laws which are contrary to the commands of God. Now, I'm not saying just about laws you don't like. When I'm driving on the interstate, I don't like the 70 limit. I'm a great driver. In fact, I'm one of the best drivers out there. And my car can go more than 70. But that's not the law. And if you try that, you're always looking in your back mirror for that little blue light, aren't you? No. It's not laws that I don't like. It's laws which are contrary to the commands of God. That is, we have a biblical responsibility to obey God's higher law when it directly conflicts with man's law. My ultimate allegiance is not to Caesar, not to the government, not to the United States, but to God. Isn't that true? So what are you to do when Caesar wants things that belong to God? Here are some laws which followers of Jesus are to disobey. A command to kill is to be disobeyed. Remember the story back in Exodus 1? The Pharaoh feels that the Israelites are becoming too strong, and so he brings out this edict, little baby boys that are born are to be killed. Remember the story of how God protected Moses. But the command is given by Pharaoh that baby boys are to be killed at birth. That was in direct conflict with God's law, thou shalt not kill. And the Hebrew midwives refused to kill male babies, even when commanded by Pharaoh.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the first part of a message titled God and Government. Today's lesson reminds us that even when we're faced with difficult circumstances, our hope and our strength is found in Christ. But perhaps the turmoil and uncertainty in your own life has led you to question if God can really be trusted. Well, John has written a special guidebook to help you know the answer. It's titled Trusting God in Tough Times. To request your free copy of Trusting God in Tough Times, please visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our monthly email list to get ministry updates from John. And if The Verdict Ministry has made a positive impact in your life, we encourage you to consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us cover the cost to distribute these biblical messages. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers like you who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your one-time donation of any amount today by going to theverdict.org. If you haven't already, be sure to check out The Verdict Podcast. In addition to these daily lessons, John has launched a weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. Every Tuesday, he shares his personal thoughts on relevant topics like power and serving, the misleading mantra of following your own heart, and how to engage the culture. So check out The Verdict Podcast today. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? How do you respond to government? I'm sure you've often disagreed with some laws, political action, or the positions of others, and so on. But notice the wisdom of Jesus. Israel at this time was under the heel of Rome, and yet Jesus is saying that we must render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So, pay your taxes. Be honest. Even when you disagree with the government, we are to honor our leaders. In this way, we display our Lord Jesus and shine as lights in the unbelieving culture.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.